Glad you could all join us again. I'm excited about this week's episode.
Me too. We left off with the anticipation of meeting some yetis in a place called Frost Springs.
Man, it's a bummer Callie couldn't get any of that funnel cake at the carnival. Those fucking wizards ruin everything.
Maybe they're just misunderstood. I really thought the friends were going to get a chance to enjoy themselves without the carnival blowing up, you know?
The Valiant Five brings total carnage wherever they go. Just kidding. It's the fucking wizards like Callie. I mean, Tori said.
Yeah, they can't help that Malachi's the way he is. Huh. I wonder if we'll ever get any background information on him and Cassandra.
There are some things that are being worked on behind the scenes, but a lot of those episodes will be released to our patrons that signed up for the exclusive content on patreon.com/deathshifter.
Hey, if you guys ever need any help or ideas, I got them. There's nothing really going on in the Death Guide world, so I just kind of smoke and come up with these phenomenal plot lines that could be used in the movies, man.
I think we have too many idiots already. Sorry, pal.
Well, you hate to see it.
Anywho, it'll be interesting to see what Frost Springs is all about. Hope there's a battle with the wizards. I like the sound effects that come with them.
There's a sound for the mail. Let's go read the questions and get to the episode.
So this week we decided to only go with one question since it was one that we could all answer and spend a little bit of time on. It comes from Big Walking Tree 22. What is the most exciting thing you're looking forward to revealing in Death Shifter?
Well, we probably shouldn't give anything away, but I'm looking forward to the wanton violence and destruction that's awaiting us in the future episodes.
Well, for me, I'm looking forward to just finding out more and more about the Death Shifter world and the characters and just keep on digging deeper, because it just gets more fun and more fun as it goes on.
I'm really looking forward to discovering more of Callie's past.
Well, since I actually don't know what's going to happen in the story, I can't really answer as far as revealing something to come. But as a fan of the story, I'm just looking forward to seeing more interaction with the team, quote-unquote team, that we have here and all the funny antics they get into.
I'm the same as Jordan. They don't tell me shit because I'll spoil it to everyone. True story. I'm looking forward to, honestly, seeing what kind of shit they get into and what Clay turns into.
What I'm looking forward to revealing the most would have to be Clay's past. It's going to be fun when it all unravels.
So, I don't know if I'm really going to say in this, but I'm going to jump in anyway. I'm looking forward to being in the story more. That is me, and the story is their death guide, right? I can't remember. My memory is really, really, really fuzzy for some reason.
Clearly this guy's a moron. Let's start the show. Here's episode 7 of Death Shifter.
Episode 7, Ice Ice Yeti. Clay and his friends get to the bottom of the icy path and stand with Klaus of Debrusif. He turns and looks at them, staring up at the giant iceberg sticking out of the ground.
Ah, yes, das ist es. Frost Springs.
Callie looks at him in disbelief.
I swear, it took me half of my long-ass life to find this place the first time.
Herman smiles wide while staring at the top of the iceberg, soaring hundreds of feet into the sky.
Well, it used to be underground. The springs below somehow leaked through to the same spot directly underneath the iceberg. Over the years, the flowing water freezing and the air pushing up against it caused it to lift up out of the ground. What's really fascinating is how the Yetis managed to carve out the inside of the iceberg without ruining the integrity of it.
Klaus of Debrusif laughs while moving toward a frozen lake surrounding the iceberg.
Danke, Herman. Now, I don't have to explain it to everyone. Stay close to me. Titus and the other Yetis are expecting us.
The friends stand behind him, watching as he walks over to the edge of the frozen lake. He wipes away some snow, revealing a small panel to place his hand on. A scan commences, causing a strip of the ice in front of them to melt and a metal bridge to appear. Barry floats into the air.
That bridge looks precarious. I ain't crossing it.
Clay laughs while following behind Klaus of Debrusif and Callie.
It seems like it's perfectly safe, Barry. The Yetis wouldn't have made it this way if it wasn't, right?
Klaus of Debrusif chuckles.
Das ist sehr gut, ja. Initially, no, it wasn't safe. Vlad's done a lot for the Yetis. He helped them make this a safe crossing.
Wesley decides to walk instead of fly. He follows behind Clay.
Yeah, I'd fly too, but my wings are really soft from how cold it is here. I'm surprised Barry is able to fly right now.
Callie smiles while watching Barry float above them.
Well, Wesley, if you take a very hard look at your wings, you'll see that yours are dragon wings. And if you look at berries, theirs are indeed pixie wings. And believe it or not, they are very different.
Barry nods their head.
True dat, Cal. Fairy wings have much more of a stringy, hairy consistency, but dragon wings, well, equally dope, are all scaly and fleshy.
Herman turns and shakes his head.
Well, I'm not a pixie or a dragon, but based on the research I've done, dragon's wings are like muscles that you have to strengthen, and pixie wings are like hair that they can control with a thought.
Clay continues to walk behind Callie and Klausif to Brusif.
Huh. I never knew there could be a difference with it. I thought wings were wings.
Wesley stands tall and acts cool while walking past Clay.
Yeah, it's a really common misconception, but us dragons actually have to work our muscles to use our wings. Makes sense as to why Barry hates lifting weights or working out.
Barry laughs while landing down on the other side of the bridge.
Ah, hard to improve upon physical perfection, am I right?
Callie scoffs while looking over at them.
As physically perfect as you are, that does not give you an excuse to be a lazy ass. You should always train. This includes mentally. Mental health is just as important. You can be physically fit, but if your head is all fucked up, it's not really gonna matter, is it?
Barry rolls their eyes while turning away from her.
Ugh, I get it, Cal. Self-improvement and gains.
Herman smacks them on the back.
Eating cereal while running and doing sit-ups probably defeats the purpose of working out to begin with.
They all laugh while Klausif Debrusif kneels and swipes the snow again to reveal another small panel. After it scans his hand, the bridge descends back into the water before it freezes over into ice. Callie turns toward the iceberg and smacks Klausif Debrusif on the back of the head.
I would have really appreciated having a heads up on the fact that we were coming to the North Pole. I could have worn a bigger coat, so jot that down for next time, okay? Thanks.
Before anyone can say anything, Herman stomps his foot down in frustration.
Really? Is no one else wondering why we need to take the bridge to cross the ice?
Clay shrugs his shoulders.
I kind of figured that since the ice melted away to reveal the bridge, that it wasn't safe to touch it.
Herman continues, irritated.
If we had the proper equipment, we could cross on the ice.
Wesley shivers while approaching the iceberg.
Well, that's neat. So once we go inside this iceberg, we're going to freeze to death. I mean, us four will. Clay won't. What would happen if you did freeze to death, Clay?
He looks back at Wesley, concerned.
I don't know. That's a good question. One that I really don't want to find out.
Klausif Debrusif laughs while a giant door appears and opens for them.
Oh, don't worry. We won't have to find out. No one's going to freeze. The Yeti's leader, Titus, made sure to leave us coats made from their fur. Be grateful. They're very expensive and hard to get your hands on.
Barry runs through the open door to an orange fur coat. They grab it and put it on.
OMG, Yeti fur is orgasmic.
Herman gets grossed out while putting on a dark green one.
I don't want to hear that, Barry. Now I can't get that image out of my head.
Wesley stands behind him, putting on a red one.
This is by far the warmest thing I have ever felt. I'm a dragon, so that's saying something.
Clay finds a dark blue one and joins the others by putting it on.
Holy shit, you guys aren't kidding. Wesley, what do you even mean by that? I haven't seen you breathe any fire since I've known you.
Callie laughs while putting on a cyan-colored fur coat.
Wesley's tiny little dragon ass can't breathe fire, and neither can his dusty-ass grandpa.
Wesley looks back at her, annoyed.
I can so breathe fire. I'm just waiting for the right moment to do it. All that stuff about it being magical for dragons is bullshit. You'll see.
Klausif Debrusif grabs the last coat and puts it on before watching the door close behind them.
Oh my, purple looks good on me. We better get moving. Vlad and Titus are waiting for us.
The five friends follow him down a hallway, with little white and yellow lights lining the corners of the ceiling. Hundreds of doorways are carved into the ice as they walk through. Barry stops and looks into one of them.
What's with all these empty rooms? I thought Yetis lived here.
Wesley stops and stands next to them.
That is weird. These rooms look like no one has touched them for some time now.
Klausif Debrusif yells back to them.
Don't stop now. We're almost to the center where the actual city is. I'll let Titus explain to you the situation when we arrive.
Callie turns back and looks at them.
I'm going to highly recommend that we get our asses in gear. Something's up.
They all nod while following the two elves through the icy halls. After minutes of walking, the hallways open up to a massive cavern with buildings sculpted from the ice. Herman steps forward in amazement.
I found information about frost rings when I was doing my research long ago, but never thought it was true. The ice is supposed to melt.
Klausif Debrusif snickers while walking toward a two-story building in front of them.
There's nothing else like it in our world. It is truly amazing. The iceberg is so big and packed with ice that it can never melt in the hidden cavern where it resides. The springs below push it up while creating more girth on the bottom, causing it to rise. It's an endless growing home for the Yetis. The structures inside the iceberg, well, they never melt because of the freezing temperatures. And because the Yeti's fur is so thick and warm, they can withstand it and live in peace here.
Barry stands next to Callie, staring at the wondrous ice city.
Wow, the world is truly a magical place, even if not literally.
Callie nods her head while smiling.
This is one of the only places that I actually enjoy revisiting.
Wesley smacks Clay on the back.
If it needs to happen, I'm definitely killing you with some ice.
Clay nervously laughs with him.
Just give me a sign before you do. I hate not being ready for it.
The six of them walk through the front doors of the building and make their way to an escalator. After getting to the top, they turn and follow a silver carpet passing by office cubicles. Vlad stands at the end in a much bigger one, waving to them with a smile on his face. At least 50 Yetis with different colored fur stand behind him.
Ah, it's good to see all of you. Thank you, Klausif Debrusev, for bringing them here.
Klausif Debrusev smiles while bowing to Vlad. He stands back upright before walking over to one of the Yetis. The two walk out of the cubicle and through a door back down the hall. Vlad turns to the friends.
I am very sorry for having Klausif Debrusev bring you here against your will. There is no service here in Frost Springs to call or even use the bracelets I gave you. It was urgent for the Valiant Five to get here to assist. The only way to do that was to send a Yeti out to the Mafia with a message.
Clay shakes his head while entering the cubicle with his friends.
You could have had Klausif Debrusev tell us from the start. We would have come.
Callie stands behind Clay, glaring at Vladimir von Von Von.
You really need to work on boundaries of how far you will go to risk other people's lives for your agenda, you big walking penis.
Herman nods his head while standing behind her.
I agree with Callie. It would be nice to have some time for ourselves. What is it that's so urgent?
Vlad turns around and walks towards the Yetis waiting for them. He points to one with a gray coat.
I know, it's a bad habit I have. At this point, I don't know if I can overcome it. The urgency of getting you here. I'll let my friend Titus explain to you.
Titus walks towards Vlad and shakes his hand before looking at the friends.
I'm sorry for causing any stress to the five of you, but we Yetis need your help. We heard about what you did in Winter's Dawn in the Underworld. With the five of you and the I Legions, we have what we need to defeat our enemies and get our people back.
Wesley looks around at the Yetis behind Titus.
I didn't really notice until Barry said something. There aren't nearly as many of you as there should be. Why is that?
Barry joins in with him.
Bet it had something to do with those nasty imps, didn't it?
Titus glances over at Vlad, who nods his head.
It is okay. The Valiant Five are working closely with me. Barry's parents were amongst the pixies that were taken 20 years ago from the elf expedition.
Titus lowers his head towards Barry.
I mourn for what you have gone through, Pixie. Us Yetis are currently going through that pain. 15 days ago, we were ambushed here in Frost Springs. Those imps, green and black hooded ropes, appeared through the portals and surprise attacked us. Once 50 of us were able to finally get to our weapons and defend ourselves, it was too late. The imps disappeared back into their portals with hundreds of our people. We don't know how it was possible for them to overrun us like they did. We couldn't see how many of them were there since they were able to teleport. All we know is that they were damn coordinated.
Herman thinks to himself for a couple of moments.
When I was 8, there were 2 imps that appeared during Oryx Giving. I forgot all about it until Barry's parents were brought out. Now that I think about it, one of them said they were looking for elves, and somehow they mistook us orcs to be them. It seemed like nothing at all at the time.
Barry looks at Callie.
Does that sound anything like the imps you battled in the ambush?
Callie nods her head.
Yeah, somewhat. But those little fuckers can teleport, and let me tell you, the bastards do it. Like, a lot. Which makes them a really big pain in the ass to fight.
Vlad agrees.
I will never forget the day they killed my beloved Camilla. The imps have always been coordinated. Their leader back in the day was a male named Irving. I fear that he is still the one running things for them.
Titus walks back over to his people before turning to the friends.
It appears that we all share a common enemy. One that must be stopped before they cause any more damage to our world. Are you willing to help us?
Clay looks at Vlad before turning to Barry and the others.
We have to. Barry could find answers about their parents. Callie can get closure by beating some imp ass. So can you, Vlad. Wesley, Herman, and I want to help get that for the three of you. We can do that while getting the Yetis back and figuring out the truth about these fucking imps.
Wesley smirks while looking at Titus.
The Valiant Five is here to help. We'll find out what's going on and get back to Unity's dream for the Reign of Fire tournament.
Callie smacks him on the back of the head.
You need to get your priorities straight, young man. A bunch of Yetis just got kidnapped, and you're thinking about a fucking drinking game?
He puts his head down.
I'm sorry. I just get so excited thinking about beating Veronica Von after the shit she pulled last year.
Callie smiles wide next to him.
I guess you have a point there. We figure out what happened, save the Yetis, and get back just in time to spank some cheeks in Rain of Fire.
Vlad looks at the two of them with a serious look on his face.
I hope you know that even though we are friends now, I'm still rooting for my daughter to crush you all in the tournament. Which means I will also be rooting for you too, Herman.
Herman smiles while looking at his friends.
I'm not holding anything back. I promised Bernice that we would win, and you know how I am with promises.
Barry scoffs.
Psh, you suck at smack talk, Herman. You're going down tomorrow.
The friends and Vlad continue talking shit to each other, while Taya stands staring at them with the other Yetis.
Seriously? How could the six of you be thinking of a game at a time like this? Our people are missing, and there are other races that have had the same thing happen. Out of everyone, Vlad, you're better than this.
Vlad stops arguing and looks back in embarrassment.
My apologies, friend. You are right. These kids get me so riled up, I just can't help it.
Callie interrupts him.
Please don't associate me with these children. I am 337 years old, but still younger and prettier than your wrinkly old ass.
Vlad laughs.
I can't deny that, and I apologize for including you with the others, but Titus is correct. We should be respectful and at least not talk about the tournament in front of them.
Clay kneels down in front of Titus.
Please don't mistake our foolishness for disrespect. My friends and I have been through a lot the past couple of days and have developed a pretty morbid sense of humor. Our focus is on finding your people and saving them. As much as my friends want to play in the tournament, they would miss it if it meant finding the imps and saving your people and any others that have been kidnapped.
His friends kneel behind him while nodding their heads to Titus. He and the Yetis kneel back while Vlad walks in between them with his phone ringing.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Apparently, there is not such bad service here like I said before. I'm getting a message from Frizelda back in the science lab. I'm putting her on speaker.
He holds his phone out while answering it.
Frizelda, were you able to stop the wizards at the Snowy Wonderland Carnival?
A couple of seconds pass with Frizelda speaking in the background before finally replying to Vlad.
Did you seal the doors behind you? They can't find the lab. Forget about Floyd. He's a centaur. They won't catch him. Hello? Vlad? Sorry, I had to make sure the science lab was sealed. The wizards and witches followed Klausif to Brusif after causing the explosion at the Snowy Wonderland Carnival. Floyd and his brothers tried to flee back to the science lab, but before getting here they realized they were being followed and tried to lead the bastards away. We're not sure what happened to the Hoof Bros, but the wizards and witches are uncomfortably close to us. They're probably closing in on Frost Springs now, too.
Vladimir Von looks at Titus before speaking into the phone.
We are needing eyes on the sky. Frizelda, whoever is with you in the science lab, activate code Camilla and get everyone ready to hold it down. Don't let those fucking wizards or witches get inside. I know you can do this. We will talk again soon.
A Yeti with blue and green fur runs to one of the windows and jumps out. He grabs onto a rope and swings on it, vanishing up into the clouds above them. Frizelda takes a deep breath.
All of us here trust you, Vlad. We won't let these other douches lay a finger on the science lab.
Vlad hangs up the phone before looking at Clay.
Do not worry. I had a feeling things were going to happen this way. If I'm right, then Malachi and Cassandra aren't there attacking the science lab. The two of them are down in the water at Rasta Lake, making their way towards Winter's Dawn. They think you and your friends are still down there. Iris and the other Aquafarians will handle them. Frizelda and the other scientists will have to hold off the other wizards and witches being led by Leroy. I have never told them about Code Camilla. Frizelda and the gnome siblings are the only three that have the proper identification to authorize the sequence for it.
Herman tries to contain his excitement, but can't any longer.
Ooh, what is Code Camilla? Holy Arcanica, is this like one of those movies where the machines take over the planet and send one back in time called the Eradicator?
Titus yells over to them.
Us Yetis love those Eradicator movies. Number 6 is our favorite.
Callie walks over and nudges Wesley on the arm.
1 and 8 are our faves.
Wesley nods his head while nudging her back.
She's right. We're both suckers for cheesy romance with the Eradicator and Tanya's best friend. And when she gets resurrected in the 8th movie. Oh, man.
Barry flies over and smacks him.
Fuck, Wes. Spoilers!
Vlad laughs while looking back at Titus and the other Yetis.
Is it really a spoiler if it's been out for like 7 years now? They're on number 14. The plants are teaming up with survivors. I'm pretty sure Don Bonner is still leading the resistance.
Barry zips around in the air while covering their ears.
Cut it out! No more spoilers! I'm gonna binge them the next time we aren't saving the world, I promise!
Clay laughs while reaching up for Barry.
Hey, I haven't seen any of them. At least I don't think I have. If you want to watch them all with me from the beginning, I'd be down. They sound pretty cool.
Barry calms down before landing on the ground next to him.
When we get home, let's get our binge on.
Vlad turns back around to the friends.
Yeah, if you want, we can watch them all at my castle. Let's talk about that after we stop whatever wizards and witches followed us to Frost Springs.
The Yeti that jumped out the window comes swinging down from the clouds and jumps back through. He rolls in and stops in front of Titus.
I saw 7 wizards and witches flying towards us. I believe they're 4 minutes away.
Titus helps him off the ground before looking to Vlad.
Great work, Justin. Vlad, take the Valiant 5 and get to those small fragments left behind from the imp portals. Frost Springs is well equipped to fight off any flying invaders.
Vlad bows to Titus.
We will see each other again soon. I will still keep my word. What I promised you will happen.
Titus smiles while looking over at Justin.
Go with them and show them what us Yetis are capable of. Make sure you find where the imps took our people.
Justin steps forward before bowing down to him.
I will do everything I can to help the Valiant 5 find them. You'll see your wife and son soon again, Titus.
Titus holds back his tears while leaning in to hug Justin.
Thank you, Justin. If you can do that, then you will be able to call yourself my son and a man again.
Justin holds in his anger and hugs his father back.
I will make you proud again, Titus.
He turns and runs over to Vlad and the others. Wesley walks over to him.
Hey, bro, you good? That was kind of weird. It seems like Titus is your dad.
Justin stops him.
He is. I brought shame to him and our family. I don't want to talk about it, but thanks for checking on me. I'll be all right.
Vlad leads them out of the cubicle and back down the hallway. They turn a corner and hop on the escalator. They get back to the bottom and leave the building. Vlad turns to Justin.
Don't let you and your father's relationship get to you, Justin. Titus will come around. He has a mysterious mind, but it always works itself out for the better. Deep down, he still considers you his son, and I know you feel the same way about him as a father. Now, how about you take us to those fragments?
Justin chuckles while walking past him.
It's been a while, so it's nice to see you, Vlad. But let's have this be our last life lesson from you while being on the little mission together.
Vlad laughs while nodding his head.
At this point, I just talk, you know this, but for you, I do best.
Justin smirks.
That's all I could really ask for. Let's get moving. The fragments aren't too far from here. If you look up at the right, you can see the cave that they're in.
Their eyes all shift up and to the right, to a cave at the top of a frozen waterfall. Clay looks over at Vlad.
I already know what you're gonna say.
This is where I have to leave the 5 of you. Justin will get you to where you need to go, and you'll find where the imps have been hiding. I need to get back to Frizelda and my other scientists. They'll need some support to push Leroy away.
Vlad looks back at him, entertained and slightly irritated.
I don't appreciate the accent, but is that how I sound when I talk, really? Alright, well, as for what you said, well, yes, that was pretty much what I was going to say. You left out that you'll find the imps' hiding place because they can't leave this dimension anymore like they could when magic was around. Once you find them, do not interact. We'll need to come up with a plan to surprise them, and we need to be careful about it. These bastards could be lurking around us even as we speak.
Callie crosses her arms while tapping her foot on the ground.
And what is it you want us to do when we find those little fucks? Just leave them to live out a nice long life after all the shit they have pulled?
Vlad smiles at her.
Go back to my castle mansion and be prepared for the rest of the Reign of Fire tournament. It is too big of an event this year for us to miss. Iris sent me a message saying Poseidon surprised her in Winter's Dawn and wants to come with her to watch. King Zian and his daughter Shannon will also be there to root Glopon. And you won't believe this one. Sith called and said he was ready to come out of hiding after all these years. He and Steve are leaving the underworld with a couple of ancient dragons. Wesley, your Grandpa Ed, is among them. He said he wanted to see what all the fuss was about and if it actually compared to the game they used to play.
Wesley nervously looks back at him.
Ed's going to be there? Watching me play Reign of Fire? I don't know if I'll be able to do it. What if he doesn't like it, or how I play?
Clay walks over and places his hand on Wesley's back.
Why do you even care what he thinks? That jackass abandoned you on the surface while you were a kid. As far as I'm concerned, you don't need his approval on anything.
Callie shakes her head.
That's the whole point, Clay. He wants to show him that he shouldn't have left him there in the first place.
Wesley stands staring off in the distance. Herman walks over and scoots Clay to the side.
He gets like this when his emotions get going. I'll go talk with him.
Herman turns and looks into Wesley's eyes.
Hey, buddy. We're gonna go get you out of this funk and go save some Yetis.
Barry smiles while watching Herman bring his hand back behind him.
Oh boy, always a party when Herman has to bitch slap Wesley.
He swings his hand forward and slaps Wesley on the side of the face, knocking him out of his trance. Wesley sits on the ground.
I just don't know why I care so much, but I need to make that asshole hurt like I did when he left me here. Don't get me wrong, I love how my life turned out with you guys, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Callie walks over and gives him a hug.
Whatever you choose, I will always be here, Wes. But I'll also say this. He left you here without even batting a wing. To assume he will magically give a shit all of a sudden is highly unlikely. Sorry, Wes. You deserved better from him. But I am very proud of the dragon you are today.
Wesley hugs her back while smiling through the tears running down his face.
Gee, thanks, Callie. You know, you're really terrible at consoling us when we're sad.
Callie laughs.
Yeah, it's super unfortunate. You'd figure that I'd have it down by now after all these years.
She helps him off the ground before turning back to Vlad.
Well, I suppose we should get back to Frizelda and the other scientists and beat Leroy's bitch ass back to a time where magic existed. Vlad, I'm going to need you to start carving out names onto that Reign of Fire trophy so we can just take it straight home after we win.
Vlad chuckles to himself while walking back towards a two-story building.
Find where the imps are hiding and save your energy for the tournament. It's going to be tough to beat Vonnie's team, my little girl.
They watch as he walks back into the building, closing the doors behind him. Justin looks at the five friends.
We shouldn't waste any more time, especially if you want to get to this Reign of Fire tournament you keep talking about.
He turns and starts making his way towards the frozen waterfall.
Oh, and I hope you guys can climb. That means you too, Pixie, unless you want to lose those wings of yours. It's far too cold over here.
Barry nervously follows behind Justin.
The hell do you mean lose my wings?
Justin nods his head.
You and the dragon. Over here is the coldest part of the Frost Springs. We think the waterfall leads directly down into the springs below. Our fur is barely thick enough to keep us warm. That's why we gave you some of our coats. Which I don't know if anyone told you, they're extremely rare these days and super expensive. It takes a long time to grow out enough hair to shave off a full coat's worth. But they sell like hotcakes, especially when we dye our fur different colors. The other races can't get enough of it. But anyways, you should be safe on the climb. Just stay behind me and follow the ropes.
Clay shrugs his shoulders while following behind him to the first rope on the frozen waterfall.
This is nothing compared to some of the shit we've done already, and we can't let this opportunity of finding the imps' hideout pass by.
Callie, Barry, Wesley, and Herman agree and grab onto the rope to follow him and Justin up. Titus and the other Yetis run out of the two-story building and make their way back into the frosty halls of the iceberg. They split up and enter into the different surrounding rooms. A flashing red light starts to go off, followed by an alarm. The iceberg begins to rumble. The different rooms spin around before shooting out of the frozen structure. A transparent sheet of ice forms over the top of the rooms as they transform and shape into ships. Yetis sit in the middle of the now flying ships controlling them. Titus yells out to his fellow pilots.
Our flight simulation training gets to finally be tested. Let's take these assholes down.
The other Yetis piloting the ships next to him fly around Frost Springs, waiting for the wizards and witches to drop from the sky. A couple of seconds pass before a fireball comes hurling towards them. Titus maneuvers his ship out of the way, but the one behind him wasn't as lucky. They all watch as the fireball continues to burn and melts the outer hull of the ship before making its way inside. The Yeti starts to panic and ejects himself out. He launches his parachute and slowly floats down to the ground. The ship dives down and crashes, shattering into millions of pieces. Titus looks up at the clouds and sees seven wizards and three witches emerging out of them.
Don't be afraid. The fireballs aren't magic, it's just technology. Just like we have with our ice, we can beat them.
One of the other Yetis flies in front of him while yelling,
Don't let them attack again. Rush them and get this over with.
He flies straight into two of the wizards just as they launch more fireballs. The ship made of ice shatters, causing icicles to shoot everywhere. The two wizards get pierced along with one of the witches. They fall to the ground while Hector gets knocked unconscious. He can't pull his parachute and smacks down into the frozen lake, breaking the ice and immediately freezing in the water underneath. Titus yells out,
"No! Hector! You fucking wizards are gonna pay for that!"
He flies his ship toward them, with the other Yetis following behind. They spin and maneuver through the barrage of fireballs the wizards shoot at them. Some of the Yetis break off and shoot ice beams out of their ships, taking out three more wizards and the last two witches. They smack down into the ground in Frozen Lake. The two wizards left stop attacking. One of them smiles while looking at Titus.
"Our work here is done. We were simply a distraction from Malachi and the others."
The other wizard gets a concerned look on his face while looking down at the ones lost in battle.
"Destruction or not, we suffered too many casualties here. Malachi won't be happy."
The two bicker back and forth while flying away from Frost Springs. Titus and the other Yetis fly back to the iceberg where the room shot out of. They line the ships up to the holes and wait for them to transform back into the rooms. Titus walks back down the hall to find Vlad waiting for him in his cubicle.
"It was a distraction just like we thought. Malachi sent them as scouts. He always wanted to know the secrets behind our technology here in Frost Springs."
Vlad nods his head while looking down at the floor.
"It is something I have wanted to know for a very long time too, but the difference between Malachi and I is that I would never attack you to get it. I respect your decision to not tell me, and I know that you will when the time is correct. The time is coming, my friend."
Titus smiles while placing his hand on a small panel underneath his desk. After the scan, a latch on the floor opens up.
"I know, Vlad. Keep your word, and I'll share with you."
Vlad smiles before opening the door on the ground.
"I'm doing everything I can to make it happen. The snowy wonderland has been great at getting the numbers I've needed. We are almost there, I promise you."
Titus waves at him.
"Go and stop Leroy, or whatever you call him. The others and I will wait for Justin and the Valiant Five to return. If you don't mind, I want Justin to stay with your team until we get our people back from the Imps."
Vlad walks down through the doorway. He yells back up to Titus before walking through a hidden portal potty.
"Think you can be rid of him so easily, huh? I guess you'll have to ask the Valiant Five and see what they think."
The door on the ground shuts as Vlad goes through the portal. The light flashes, blinding him. He opens his eyes and finds himself standing in the white room of the science lab. The door shoots open. Griselda stands staring at him, while scientists run around in a panic behind her.
"We've been holding them off until now. Come and look for yourself. Leroy helped them develop one of my inventions."
Vlad follows her out of the white room, over to a window on the top floor. They look down at Leroy sitting inside a machine that has four wheels and a hammer-like attachment at the end of it. Vlad clasps his hand into a fist.
"That bastard made the slamming bullet you worked so hard on designing. No matter, it won't do anything to our doors if you initiated Code Camilla on time."
She nods her head.
"We did. Our laser turrets have been active since I called you. The door's sealed shut and the inside was welded with that special HV serum you created. What is that stuff anyways?"
Vlad shakes his head.
"I'm sorry, Griselda, but now is not the time for this. We're safe in here, but I know Leroy. He'll figure something else out. We need to stop him before he does."
Larry comes running over with his sister following behind him.
"We just spoke with Flood. Him and his brothers got away without being seen. He said that they're in position to help if we need it."
Perry jumps in. "We should take them up on that offer. Our laser turrets only do so much for offense." Vlad looks down at Larry.
"Get Floyd back on the phone. Put him on speaker."
Larry calls Floyd back.
"Are you wanting us to attack?"
Vlad speaks over Larry.
"Hey, Floyd, it's Vlad. Have the wizards or witches seen you or your brothers with Clay or any of the other scientists?"
Floyd whispers to his brothers in the background.
Have you guys seen
No, we don't think so. Why?
Perfect. I need you to listen carefully to me. The wizards and witches are assholes, but they won't attack innocent civilians if they don't have to. You're going to send two of your brothers in as two lost citizens looking for directions. As they're distracted, you and your last brother need to find a way by them and get to Leroy. If you can take him out of the slamming bowl, we can use the missiles that my scientists seem to have forgotten about."
Griselda, Larry, and Perry look around at each other nervously while Vlad smiles at them.
"It's okay. I showed the three of you Code Camilla a while ago. I had almost forgotten about it myself."
He turns back to the phone.
"Floyd, can you and your brothers do this thing?"
Floyd takes a couple of seconds to look at his brothers. They all nod and agree to do it. Floyd takes a deep breath and looks at the phone.
Oi, we can do this, Vlad. Once we get Leroy out of the slamming bull, you'll do whatever you need to do.
Floyd hangs up the phone and looks to his brothers while taking his lab coat off.
Who wants to be the first two in as the lost citizens?
Floyd steps forward and looks at Floyd.
Oh, gee, I think Floyd and I can keep them distracted long enough. What do you think there, guy?
Floyd smiles while trotting forward.
You know, I'd be honored to be a lost citizen with you, Floyd. What do you want to distract them with?
Floyd starts to laugh.
Well, I think the missing granny one's always a fun one there, bud.
Floyd walks over to Floyd.
Oh, yeah, I do enjoy the missing grandma one too myself. What about us, Floyd? What are we going to do to sneak past the wizards and witches to get to Leroy?
Floyd takes a couple of seconds before throwing his lab coat onto the ground.
I don't know if this is the time, but I've always treated the three of you like idiots because you weren't actually scientists. I'm sorry for that. You know what, Deloitte? I'm not sure what we should do to achieve that. Do you have any ideas?
Floyd gasps while looking at his brothers.
Holy shite! Did Floyd just apologize to us and then ask Deloitte for a plan?
Floyd shakes his head in disbelief.
Oh, gee, I didn't think I heard that right either there, bud.
Floyd laughs.
I'm being serious right now. How are we going to sneak over to Leroy and get him off the slamming bull?
Floyd smirks while looking at Floyd.
Oh, I'd say I have an idea I do. While Cloyd and Floyd are distracting the wizards and witches with their missing grandma, you and I are going to use the bushes.
Floyd turns and looks around at the shrubbery.
Hey, no, that's not a bad idea. If we cover ourselves up enough and move slowly, we'll blend right in with the path of greenery that leads to Leroy.
The centaur brothers get excited and make their way into the bushes next to them. Clay reaches the top of the waterfall and stands looking into the cave. He turns around and helps Callie up over the ledge. Barry, Herman, and Wesley follow behind and look into the cave. Six small orange lights flicker. Justin looks at them.
Those are the fragments left from the imp portals. I'm not sure why they fell off or why they've been here for 15 days after the attack.
Herman runs into the cave and slides on the ground next to them.
Wow, this is amazing. When those two imps showed up on Orcsgiving, they didn't leave behind any fragments like this.
Wesley walks over and sits down.
My question is, why would there be some here that got left behind then? Why would it be any different?
Callie stands behind them.
Over the years, I've found cities where the imps had caused the citizens to disappear, but I've never seen anything like this.
Barry looks over at Callie, confused.
Why didn't you tell us you were imp hunting? We could have helped.
Callie turns and looks into their eyes.
The reason I never told you is because I didn't want the idea to consume you and end up with no results. We can revisit this later, Barry.
Barry turns away from her and walks over to Clay.
What do you make of all this, Clay?
He takes a couple of seconds before approaching Herman and Wesley.
Well, if Herman says they didn't leave any fragments behind during his Orcsgiving, and they did now, tells me that they decided to leave some behind this time. The real question is why. When they attacked Titus, he said that they were coordinated. Vlad seconded that by saying something about a male imp named Irving who has been leading them for a long time. With all that, I'm guessing that they left this here for someone to find. Either a trap or a getaway for someone that hasn't left Frost Springs yet.
Wesley laughs while standing up and looking at him.
Well, fuck, who knew we had the world's greatest detective with us?
Callie snickers while sitting outside of the cave.
Yeah, you're a real fucking Furlock Volmes.
Barry grins wide while leaning against Callie.
Aw, Clay does kind of look like the world's cuddliest kitty detective.
Justin walks into the cave and looks down at the fragments with Herman.
So what now? Do we wait and see if someone comes to use them? Or use them ourselves?
Herman stands and uses his foot to scoot them into a pile.
Well, if we use them, it's a one-way ticket to the imps.
Wesley picks up a rock and throws it against an icy wall.
You guys know how bad I want to play in the Reign of Fire tournament, but I feel like this is more important and bigger than any of us. If using the fragments is our only way to find these imps, then we gotta do it.
Callie stands and walks over into the cave to join them.
God fucking damn it, Wes. I hate to say this, but you are so right. As much as I would like to absolutely destroy Vonnie in Reign of Fire, I suppose that would most certainly be the more selfish choice in this situation.
Barry skips over, smiling.
You know, on paper you're a bad influence, Cal, but IRL, you're a fucking pillar of society.
Herman grins while kneeling back down. He stares into the fragments.
Well, we won't get a redo depending on the choice we make. Whatever's on the other side of these fragments, we're gonna have to deal with it.
Clay stands looking at his friends.
No matter what, we're in this together. We're the Valiant Five. And Justin.
Justin smiles while kneeling with the group.
Everyone grab a fragment at the same time, pull them up together, and then, I guess, wait. I'm not sure how this actually works.
The six of them reach into the pile and grab a fragment. They hold them up together, and they start to glow orange. After a couple seconds, the light begins to pulsate. It speeds up to a ferocious pace before erupting and engulfing them. The light gets sucked into a small portal that opened up from the eruption. As the friends fly through an orange void, a static sound pierces their ears. Clay gets a familiar feeling in his gut as the orange light starts to dissipate. It completely fades away, leaving him and the others standing under a green and gray light, staring at a couch with a mysterious man in a black hooded robe sitting on it, watching TV. He reaches for a remote and turns it off before standing and staring at the friends.
This is new. I didn't think it was possible for you to get here without dying. And how'd you get your friends in here with you?
A bubbling sound comes from underneath DG's robe, while Clay's friends cautiously look around at the world of darkness they've come to. DG erupts into laughter while smoke pours out of his hood.
Come, sit down. Any friend of Clay's is a friend of mine, unless you're a fucking narc.
Clay turns and looks at the others, nodding his head.
You can trust him. Welcome to the Death God world I've been telling you about.
Callie, Herman, Wesley, Barry, and Justin follow behind Clay down the dimly lit path that goes through a dead forest. As they make their way through, DG yells out to them again.
Y'all are slow. Let's go. And don't try looking into the other Death Guide's hoods. They don't really seem to like that at all.
They get to the end of the path and stand staring at DG as he tries to be courteous and clean up for them. Callie gets impatient and sits down on the couch.
This dude clearly is in no kind of hurry to get this tiny-ass mess cleaned up. I'm gonna have a seat.
Clay smiles while walking over to GG.
Hey, buddy. It's alright. The place is clean enough for us. How about we talk about what the fuck is going on here?
DG stops cleaning and sits down on the couch next to Callie. He looks around at the friends staring at him.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea, huh? Well, where should we start?
He stops and sits back while a bubbling noise is heard again under his hood. Clay slaps his hand on his face before sitting on the ground.
Everyone sit down and relax. This is gonna take a little while. Keep your eyes open for those damn imps, too.
Barry squeezes onto the couch between Callie and DG, while Herman, Wesley, and Justin all sit down with Clay. The six of them sit quietly waiting for DG to talk.
Not gonna lie, Frost Springs was pretty cool. Those Yeti ships were unexpected.
Unexpected and fucking dope. Wizards versus Yeti battle in the sky? Love it!
Yeah, that was pretty dope. I love how Vlad just always appears and is like, oh, hey, everything's all good.
Yep, Vlad is always up to something. You can't underestimate him at all.
What about that end right there? They ended up in the Death Guide world with DG? How is that even possible?
I know. What the fuck's going on here?
Here, take some more of the good stuff and go to your corner over there. This guy.
The imp portal is what got them there. Seems like something big is coming.
Do you think the imps are working with the wizards?
They could be. It wouldn't surprise me if Malachi was. But I don't know. It seems like the wizards wouldn't go that far.
I think the imps are going to play a bigger part in the overall story. Them showing up and then disappearing again would kind of suck.
Yeah. Hopefully we get some more information on what they're up to in the coming episodes. Season 1's ending has to be good.
Oh, I hope it's an all-out war between Vlad, the Five, the Wizards, the Imps. That'd be sick.
Big wars are always fun. All we can do is wait and see what happens.
There's a lot left to happen before Season 1 ends. Look for Episode 9 to be longer and maybe a couple of other ones after that as well.
And don't forget to tune into our new show called The Death Address. You can catch the first episode from last week before the new ones release next Monday.
We're going to be alternating between The Death Address and Death Shifter to give you weekly content to listen to.
That's right. Tell your friends, spread the word. Let us know what you think about The Death Address or if there's anyone in history you'd want us to do an episode on.
It's been a lot of fun and I've learned a lot so far. It's a weird take on true crime and history while mixing in our comedic element. Take a listen and see for yourself.
Well, that's all the time we have this week. DG's over in his corner, so I'll guess I'll do his job. We again want to thank Anchor for giving us an easy and reliable place to make our podcast. They also distribute it to the different platforms for all of you to listen to, which is fucking sweet. Remember to follow us on YouTube, Pandora, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or just go to our website, www.deathshifter.com. You'll find all of the links there as well as down below in the episode description. If you're interested in supporting us and gaining access to exclusive trailers, bonus episodes, and more, check out patreon.com/deathshifter. Thanks for listening, and remember,
don't forget to tip me.